This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
And that is creativevoices.us on the internet. You can check it out. It joins us regularly to talk about some media issues. And the first thing we should talk about, of course, is, and we don't want to give him too much time, but let's talk about the OJ controversy. Not so much about OJ, but in terms of Fox and their handling of it. And what that whole controversy tells us about the recent developments over the last 10 to 15 years in the major mainstream media.
Coy, sometimes it's hard to talk about ideas in a concrete way. You need anecdotes. And the Fox controversy in hiring OJ to write his book, whether it was truth or fiction or whatever, and then having 2 hours at the end of Sweeps Month to plug it on the Fox network, is really a perfect concrete example of some of the abstract issues that we talk about in media policy in Washington. What happened in Washington over the past decade is that Congress and the FCC allowed all the networks, including Fox, to own many more of their local stations as opposed to having locally based, community-based ownership by affiliate stations who would then use the Fox programming. And what happened with OJ is that Fox, controlling most of the large local markets with its station, didn't think that communities might have an issue with broadcasting 2 hours from someone who is widely believed to have murdered his wife and was found so in a civil case but not in the criminal case. Now, 10 years ago, this likely would not have happened. They would have had to listen to their partners in broadcasting, the local station affiliates. But what media consolidation and concentration has done has allowed Fox to buy them up. And
buy up the local affiliates who in the past would have said, we're not going to run that crap.
That's not for our community. That's not to our taste. And, you know, this is a big issue in with respect to the indecency and content and objectionable programming issues as well. But the OJ case so sort of perfectly encapsulates this whole issue as to the shift in power from local communities controlling what is broadcast in their community to the national network, which is all-powerful.
Yeah, and the national networks gets to decide, hey, we're going to run this OJ thing, and so it was sort of just a fluke that we got objection to it?
Well, it was so objectionable that the local affiliates, who have almost no power, screamed so loudly and got their congressional representatives involved as well that the pressure on Fox, and then, of course, it was picked up by the cable networks and Larry King, and even then Bill O'Reilly of the Fox News Channel said, no, this is bad. This is objectionable. This is in bad taste. Yeah. It's my own network, but...
And well, good for him.
You know, Rupert Murdoch, to his credit, said, we goofed.
Yeah. And it certainly didn't hurt that that controversy happened during sweep months. I mean, they would have gotten high ratings if they ran it. But they still got a lot of some high ratings from people tuning in to the controversy itself.
Well, perhaps, but I think they would have wished they had never heard of the OJ book, the OJ television show, and this whole controversy.
Yeah,
it was a terrible, terrible public relations nightmare for them.
From where you sit, where is the problem then? Is it vertical integration, you know, in general, or is it that they're so vertically integrated that it tends to, there's no neighborhood voice anymore? There's no local community voice anymore. The community voice is just a community face for decisions being made in New York.
10 years ago, and you know, my background is producer and writer of television shows before I got involved in media policy. So I saw this from the inside. But 10 years ago, there was a three-branch system of broadcasting. And you can make the analogy to the three branches of government. There was the independent producer who made the show. There was the national network like Fox, ABC, so on, that broadcast the show. And then there were the local affiliates who represented the local communities to bring the show into those local communities. And so there was a series of checks and balances over the content that we saw on television. The independents could come up with a radical idea. The national network might say no. The local affiliates might say no. Or the national network could come up with a bad idea. But between them, they generally got taste right, they generally got content right, and these things like the OJ situation did not happen. That, in the name of quote-unquote deregulation, was thrown out 10 years ago in the name of efficiency. And you raised the issue earlier about Clear Channel, so we can talk about that efficiency. Yes. But our television is poorer for it. That's the bottom line. And the local
community, especially as a community resource.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, of course, we're seeing things like we had Roger Burchett on in the last hour talking about My Seaville TV, the new on Comcast 2, which rolls out at the end of the month.
Right.
And one of they are totally dedicated to bringing back local TV, local programming, PM magazines, local kids shows, local quiz shows. And I applaud that. That's what made television great.
That is fantastic. And the reason that they have to do it is because it's not being provided to us over our own public airwaves. And it was promised to us as part of the agreement to give broadcasters these public airwaves at no charge. They're worth billions of dollars, and all we asked in return was that they serve the local community, but they don't.
John Rentels is our guest. He's the executive director of Creative Voices in Media. Charlie's on the line in Albemarle County. Charlie, you're on with John. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's good talking with you.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice.
My question to your guest is, what do you think when we constantly see the polls that show that the vast majority of the media is left to center? Do you not think that that may reflect on why we have some of the television entertainment that we have that really is quite atrocious now?
Well, that's an interesting comment because it goes to the heart of what we have been talking about. That, let me talk about sort of the objectionable content in terms of language or sex, violence, that kind of thing.
And let's take a quick break, get some commercials out of the way, pay some bills, and then when we get back, let's talk about that. We're talking with John Rentels of Creative Voices in the Media. That's creativevoices.us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the podcast of Charlottesville Right Now with Poi Barefoot. Podcasting of the show is made available by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
John Rentels joins us. He's the executive director of Creative Voices in Media. That's creativevoices.us. And sorry to interrupt you. Let's pick up where we left off. Charlie asked a great question. I think he blames if there's something wrong in the media, it must be the liberals' fault.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a political question. It's a question of the content that you see, whether it's too far left, too far right, too sexy, too violent, has bad language, bad taste, whatever. What has happened over the last 10 years is that local communities no longer have the power to say no. And, whether a community is liberal or conservative or whatever, the local broadcast affiliate often did say, that show you're putting on, CBS, ABC, that doesn't work for us. For example, NYPD Blue, in its first year, was not carried by a number of ABC affiliates. Now, I happen to think that was a great show, but they said it's not right for our community, and that was their right. But this OJ show was going to be crammed down the throats of every local affiliate except that Rupert Murdoch, who, by the way, owns a network and is not generally considered to be part of the liberal Hollywood conspiracy.
Yeah.
So
the centralized corporate structure has bought up those local affiliates and taken away that ability for the local community to enforce their standards.
That's right.
And so the standards of New York or L.A. or wherever, from the left or the right, doesn't matter. That's what's coming into your community. And the corporate model that has expanded to assume control of these affiliates has just snatched away that local decision-making power about what goes on the TV.
That's right. That's it exactly. And, it's true in radio, too. I mean, and we, this is a great segue into the Clear Channel issue. Here is Clear Channel, which has bought up so many of the local radio stations around the country. And, of course, then they had their Dixie Chicks issue. You know, suddenly the Dixie Chicks were not going to be on Clear Channel, and that closed so much of the market to them. Now, Clear Channel generally isn't thought of as the liberal Hollywood conspiracy either, and I think most people would think that the liberals got the short end of that. But that was a national conglomerate deciding what local markets could have. And the irony of it is they said they could run these local stations better. They would fire all the local talent. They would create a centralized national playlist, just send the tapes around to all the various communities.
Goodbye local shows.
Goodbye local shows. Goodbye local news. Goodbye local drive, you know, reports and weather.
In many cases, goodbye DJ at all. It was just, you know, computer operated.
Just totally beamed in from corporate headquarters. And now they have given up. They've said, that doesn't work. We're losing money. They've put one-third of their stations up for sale in local markets after having essentially looted them.
Including Charlottesville.
And I don't know if Charlottesville is in that.
Isn't it?
I'm not sure,
okay.
To be quite honest. I don't think they've announced every station that's been on, but they've said they're going to sell over 400 stations and in their smaller markets because this so-called synergy that we were promised that allowing this consolidation to happen, better service, you know, more local news, it just didn't happen
at all. They promised the moon, didn't they?
And they just wrecked these stations. And now they've given up on them. They're selling them to private people who hopefully will be locally based and can resurrect them.
And what's the lesson you see there?
The benefits of consolidation and synergy are imaginary. It's just not there. What radio stations and television stations need is a clear and direct tie to the communities they serve. And they need to program for those communities. They need to create websites that buttress that, you know, complement that. And it's local in terms of broadcasting. And we've gotten away from that.
And they're saying the same thing to even newspapers, folks like Media General or Landmark. All the advisors are coming in saying you need to go even more local than you are.
You know,
you've strayed too far from that because that's where you need to get back to. Whether you're a local TV station or the Daily Progress or The Hook, go local big time.
That there were two great stories in the press today that said the salvation of newspapers and radio and television stations and even the internet for specific search engines such as ask.com is to go hyperlocal.
That's the new phrase now, hyperlocal.
Hyperlocal,
yeah.
Street by street, block by block to report that clearly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to the point where you look at the Daily Progress and they've got the Fry Spring News.
Yeah.
And they have a Fry Spring News website where you can go get all the, and where they aggregate all the Fry Spring blogs, and you can find when the pool opens, and that is getting back to truly serving your local community.
And the worst thing that could have happened in Charlottesville, to bring this home, is what was proposed in 2002, 2003 by the FCC and Michael Powell, which is that they would change the rules so that even in a community as small as Charlottesville, I mean, I know we consider ourselves the hub of the universe and everything, but we got to look at what the population is.
Right.
With one daily newspaper, such as the Daily Progress, and at that time, one strong commercial television station, that those two could merge, the commercial television station, Channel 29, and the Media General-owned Daily Progress. Now, what a disservice to this community it would have done to take away one of the major news voices.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. We're talking with John Rentels. He's the Creative Voices in the Media Executive Director. Steve is on the line in Charlottesville. Steve, you're on with John. Go right ahead.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. I guess I take issue with your point only in terms of it from an economics perspective. I'm not sure I understand when you start talking about the demographics of a small market and the local, whatever, you know, we're talking about media, be it advertising on radio, television, the public service programs, whatever it is. I don't see how the community is better served by having a local small outfit that can't produce any real content that somebody wants to watch. I think that's why you saw the demise of some of the smaller unaligned stations, because they just don't have they have the channel of distribution, but they don't have the content that they pump. The internet you can talk about because millions and millions, billions of people can reach it through a portal. Whereas here in Charlottesville, if you're dealing with a small market community, if you can't produce content that people want to watch, what is the value of having a local audience?
Well, that is a great point. And, you know, it goes to radio and television. And it's not necessarily so much producing content locally. It is programming content that appeals to local taste. It could be produced anywhere, but it is community content. And, of course, the argument made by the large media companies was exactly that, that we're going to come in and produce all this local content to serve the local community for on stations that are not producing it now, that don't have the ability. Well, I can give you the names of hundreds of people who were producing local content who just got thrown out on the bricks as a result of changing those rules. Now, of course, it was true in some markets, no doubt about it, but overall, it has not been good for broadcasting. It's not been good for local broadcasting. It's not been good for local communities.
So when you say that, that folks need to go hyper-local, this show is one example. Sean Hannity is no longer in this time slot. We have a local community-oriented talk show that folks are free to pick up a phone and call in and participate in the conversation in this media. But what you're saying is you don't have to necessarily produce it local. You just respond to your community in a way that when decisions are made in New York, you can't.
That's right. If Sean Hannity was popular in Charlottesville, as you know, improbable as that might seem. No, I know he's very popular. I'm not a fan of his. But, you know, then, of course, the community should have him on their local airwaves. But it's when the national network or the Clear Channels of the world force their content on into local markets where it's not appropriate, and in fact people even object to the content, that the problem occurs.
John Rentels is the executive director of Creative Voices in the media, and that's creativevoices.us on the internet. Steve, thank you so much for the call. Before I let you go, let's tell folks about this Christmas ornament.
Okay, well, this is my plug today. This is
plug away.
This is hyperlocal media at work. Your sister station, Z95.1, has a Christmas ornament design contest among school children in Albemarle County. And they then take the winning design, put it on a Christmas ornament, and sell it at Embark and local Lloyd's Hallmark stores, and the proceeds benefit the Toy Lift. And the winner of the design contest this year was Elizabeth Rentels. And her last name is not a coincidence. She happens to be my daughter.
That's fantastic.
And I'm very proud of her.
And where can folks buy that ornament again?
They can buy them at the Embark store on Route 29 or any of the Lloyd's Hallmark stores.
There you go. And that'll support the Toy Lift, which
That's
is
right.
This Friday, December 8th at the Fashion Square Mall, 7 to 9 p.m. John Rentels is the Executive Director of Creative Voices in Media. Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.